welcome to the Movie Podcast. My name is Shabazz, and I am joined today by my two co-hosts who, you know, just look at them. They're just such handsome dudes, and I'm so glad that I get to be in the same room with them. This is sounding creepy, and I didn't want it to, I'll be honest with you. But Daniel now, he looks like he's a little scared. He's sweating. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm well.
Okay, good.
No, I'm doing, honestly, what a great week it's been.
It's been a fantastic
news.
Week.
We're out of the dome, finally.
What?
We were in the dome. The DC fan dome.
Oh!
Yes, we were.
I don't remember being trapped in the dome.
You don't remember being trapped in the dome?
No.
Together?
Yeah, well, you didn't let us leave the room, so I remember now,
see?
Yes.
We were in the dome for a long time.
You kept saying that the handle doesn't work. I was like, well, how does the handle not work?
We cannot leave the dome until the Batman trailer releases.
That's true.
And we didn't.
That's true.
We didn't.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about DC fandom today. Anthony, what about you? How are you? How's your week?
I'm doing well.
There you go. It's great.
I think that's great.
Take care, everyone.
More than I wanted, to be honest with you.
I just feel like I've told the audience so many times this week.
You
what
have?
What my week has been like.
I don't...
Because we've had so
listen,
many...
Listen, we were off last week, first of all.
We've had so many reviews that answered the questions. So
that's
if
true.
Our audience...
So our
really
audience
cares about how my week went, they would listen to our reviews.
That's a roundabout way of saying, hey, we have some great episodes out that you can go listen to.
It's almost threatening in a way.
It
you
is.
Know?
It's, like, it's a lot nicer way of
really,
saying it.
An Easter egg of what my week was like.
You really care about me? You'll know how I'm doing. Oh, okay.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing well.
How are you, though?
I'm also well. We were off for a week.
We were off for a week.
We celebrated... Canadian Thanksgiving. I actually was in the Americas celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving.
Invading.
I hope not, or else they're going to be... I don't think I'd survive. I don't think I'd be able to invade the United States.
No, you didn't want to bring them the good word of Canadian Thanksgiving?
I did. I did speak about it, and they just looked at me like, you goddamn dirty bitch.
God.
I don't know. It was one
Where
man.
Were you, by the way?
There was one man who said that to me, like, you dirty bitch, I don't think Canadian Thanksgiving
That was
here.
At the Canadian airport, too, that happened.
That was Mr. Trudeau. No, I'm just kidding. No,
My God.
It was one guy. He was so mean to me. I don't know what his problem was. But, no, I had a safe flight. I had a safe time. I was in Texas. I was trying to figure out why they're not wearing masks. And I didn't bring back any information, to be honest
No
with
information?
You. No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad we can discuss. We have some great news today, and diving into some of it, we can always listen to a new episode on Monday, except for the last Monday, because last Monday we didn't have any episode.
We did have an episode, though.
But we didn't have a main episode.
No, we did not.
We had an Easter episode. Like, not Easter egg.
It was Thanksgiving, first of all.
Wait, Thanksgiving turkeys don't lay eggs?
No. Oh, okay. It was a stuffing episode. It was filler.
Okay.
It was filler.
It was a filler episode.
Turkeys lay eggs, though.
I didn't say they didn't lay eggs.
You did,
though.
Actually.
When did I say it?
I said Thanksgiving turkeys don't lay eggs. And you're like, no.
Did I?
And then you
said science.
And then you put your finger on your neck. And
listen here, boy, you get up. It was me, Shay.
Oh, no.
It was me.
I knew it. But as always, you can catch a brand new episode of the Movie Podcast every single Monday. And watch out throughout the week for a few episodes, just like we had this week. And, you know, if you're listening carefully this upcoming week... You'll find out more about how Anthony's week is going. And
Don't ask him.
And you'll be able to listen to some new reviews, because you've got some good movies coming out this week that we'll be able to review.
Very soon.
Yeah. Where was I going with this? Yes. And make sure to follow us at The Movie Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Letterboxd. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We're getting closer and closer every day to 200 five-star reviews, so please go ahead and do that. Join our Discord. I went into our Discord yesterday, and someone else joined, so I gave them a little hello.
Yes.
But that was kind of nice of them, so thank you for that. And if you want to write into our show, it is hello@themoviepodcast.ca. We love reading emails. We actually hired somebody just to read those emails, and no one's sending any. What's going on? Do you guys not have emails where you're from?
Well, they... reply to them. It's like, you don't send those emails to anyone.
You dirty bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, I found you. You thought you'd get away from me.
Yeah.
But let's jump into the news. That was
great.
Because I remember the week before, we had a bit of a rough do-do-do-do.
Well, we didn't.
No. There was a little pitch issue that we had there.
It was no pitch issue.
There was like a...
One quick thing I We didn't have any really announcements this week. I think we covered them all. So.
We've been saying so many announcements. People are like, I think people, they create a button to skip past the announcements.
Skip the announcements. They're not ads.
Skip intro, they're like skip announcements.
Skip how Anthony's doing, skip announcements.
But did you want to say something?
You
want to give an announcement still?
I want to give a quick announcement.
Yeah, please.
Honestly, all I want to say is...
There's no button for this one.
No, they can't skip this. Ladies and gentlemen. No. Honestly, no, you said it already. I was going to say, Eternals is a movie that's coming out very soon.
I didn't say it, though.
But I didn't say anything else. I just said Eternals is a movie that's coming out very soon, and we're very excited to watch it.
And it'll be sooner than you expect.
Just make sure, also in our show notes, along with all of the movie podcast links, are links to myself, Shay's, and Anthony's social media accounts. Not our passwords, just our profiles, where you could go and follow and see our takes throughout the week before they make it onto the show or to a recorded episode. So I would say if you care about any future movies coming out, make sure you're following us on all our respective social media accounts. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, because we can say whatever we can say about whatever we watch. And whatever we can't say, we won't say.
You don't say.
You don't say.
You dirty bitch, get out of here. I don't like this character. I don't like it.
He looks funny. We're talking about characters. We were talking about the one you did before on our
Halloween episode, yeah.
Yeah, you went into like
hey, this. You want my lighter or my razor?
You went into this pawn shop dealer
who
has like apps for his razor blades.
Yeah. It's on my jailbroken iPhone 3.
We got a body.
Before the app store was on there. Yeah. You want a razor?
Want a razor? All right, let's get into the first story today, which is everything that happened at DC Fandom. And this is coming from Aaron Couch and Boris Kitt of The Hollywood Reporter. Of course, Boris, good friend of the show. He doesn't know he's a friend of the show, but he is a friend of the show. Well, it's Batman's world, and DC and the rest of us are just living in it. Despite more than 3.5 hours of unique, diverse, and interesting of varying degrees content, it came down to the one and only thing that really mattered, the thing on which DC Fandom's 2021 success would be judged, the Batman trailer. But as for the rest of Fandom 2021, DC Fandom also featured appearances from Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom star Jason Momoa, The Flash's Ezra Miller, Peacemaker's John Cena, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, Zachary Levi, and the teams behind Batgirl, Blue Beetle, and more. Dwayne Johnson tweezed his eyebrows.
Yeah.
He teased his long-anticipated comic book movie debut, Black Adam, with footage of epic landscapes and sets. Johnson said the project is in post-production, but he brought along an opening scene that included military men discovering Black Adam and the anti-hero turning them to dust and catching bullets. Anthony, what are some of your thoughts about how DC Fandom went?
I enjoyed a lot of the movie trailers that were shown. I thought it ran a little long. I would say too long. Certain segments of the fandom could have been cut down quite a bit, and there was a lot of information that I don't even think the audience really cared, because I was watching. I tuned into the live stream on YouTube, and you would see the comments where people were like, yes, skip, please, let's on to the next, because a lot of it was just community, like just conversations within the group about inside jokes or like just stories that really didn't mean anything to the audience. And I think the audience really enjoyed the trailer aspect and the quick segments of these new, like even Aquaman's featurette. They were really well done, as well as Shazam, which was really well done. And I was surprised we didn't get any footage from Shazam, because it looked like the movie was pretty much done. And I think it is done. I think
they have rap shootings.
Yeah. So super excited for Black Adam and being able to see the Batman. That trailer like just blew me away. I think the other trailer, The Flash, seeing Michael Keaton, hearing him talk and just his words.
His footsteps.
Yeah, he's kind of like piecing things together, and it's just like, man, I can't wait to see him in the bat suit again.
Great teaser.
Very good teaser.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I just think it could have been a lot shorter.
Definitely.
I don't think it could have been, didn't need to be 5 hours long. Probably like 2 hours.
It was 4 hours, right? One to
four?
Five?
Three and a half, I think, officially, with after, because the Batman trailer ended at 4:30 Eastern for us.
Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't, it felt long, and I 100% agree with the segments running a little longer than they needed to. I think each movie got Or like we look at like Supergirl and the shows, there's a lot in here. And this is what I think what DC fandom last year did really well. And this year is just, yes, you're catering to a big group of people with this. Mm-hmm. So not everything is going to pertain to everyone. Like, I think for us, we were just ravenous to see more of the Batman, and rightly so. They held that carrot in front of us at the very end of it. Mm-hmm. I just think that the segments that they did had, I think there should have been like a 5 minute max, like, Featurette. 5 minutes, discuss,
that's it.
Yep. Drop a, here's a trailer, here's a thing, and then move on.
Yep.
So we could have a lot tighter of a runtime, because some of these panels were like 10 or even 15 minutes long. I'm like, okay, like, yes, I'm sure there's an audience for this. Like when the Smallville segment happened, I definitely jumped up, but that I think was only about 5 minutes long too. So mm-hmm. it was enough, because I know if I want to watch more, they could have a video that they drop, or they could be like, you know what, here's our schedule. And I think that's the big thing for me. Because I know we're just kind of giving our overall fandom thoughts now. We're going to dive into the footage soon. But I wish there was a schedule for this, because they kind of throughout just kept saying, hey, stay tuned for Harley Quinn and Young Justice and the Batman. And you don't really know, okay, but which one is next, though? What like, when could I go? When could I not go? And I think even the host, again, bless them. Everyone's like doing their best and they're excited to be there. But even the hosts felt like... like they did last year, it felt so a little disjointed, where it felt like they were too much, like they were reacting. They were just being told, okay, react to something cool that just happened and be like, wow, welcome back. Like, that looks great. Now we're going to talk about this. And it's like, I don't think you really need that. I think you just keep the pace going, keep the content going. I don't even think you really need a host to bring you through that. Just drop it and go through it. I think when we look at the Marvel... Sorry, the Disney Investor Day or D23, like that was just go. That, you have that, somebody that introducing
was
even it.
Super long, and it was just really boring.
The Investor Day one.
Yeah, but when they got to the Marvel segment, it was just Kevin Feige like, this is what's going on, boom, 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 and then you just kind of go. Mm-hmm. This I think just needed to be a lot tighter. But the stuff that we did get, like from Aquaman, the Flash, especially, and obviously the Batman, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got like, I think you could easily have made DC fandom an hour and a half to 2 hours max. You know, I understand that it's Supergirl's, you know, final season, but the amount of time they spent on that, I was like, this could have just been a video you released after that, and it could have been even longer, and people would have just gone to see it. It didn't have to be time sensitive that you're watching it live, quote unquote.
Yeah, and there was also those with Cassidy, like from The Flash, like the news flashes that kept coming in.
Yeah, with Iris, right?
Some of the stories were important to know, but, you know, they could have been done differently or not been part of that whole overall experience.
Yeah.
Even there was a Lois and Clark.
Superman and Lois.
So Superman and Lois, and they did the whole house tour.
The house tour, yeah.
What? Yeah.
Like, I don't... Yeah.
It's okay, I get it. It's a house. Like, this is where Superman drinks.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry.
I guess, where I play the piano. Yeah. I'm like, that's great.
My point, though, with the Investor Day is that the Disney Investor Day was focused on Disney Plus.
Right, right.
So that's where the focus, at least, was there, where with DC fandom, it's like anything under the umbrella of DC comics, movies, shows... is there, and I think that's where it lacked a little bit of the focus.
Yes.
Right?
And you know, it's interesting because we talked about it last year, where last year it was a 24-hour event.
Yeah, it was long.
You know, obviously it was just a repeat of the news cycle, but this year they took a lot of the feedback, and you know, the budget looked a little better. Like, it didn't look as rough as last year, still a little bit, but the fact that they shortened it down and everything, I'm only hoping that next year, whatever happens in the year after that, they take more of this feedback and keep condensing it to something that makes sense. Because clearly, DC fandom was a big topic yesterday on social media. So, you know, they owned the news cycle yesterday. They did a great job. But yes, they need to trim a lot of it down. I'm excited for whatever they do next year, but I had a good time. You guys want to talk about some of this footage we saw?
Let's do it. Let's save the big one.
We'll save the big one for the end. Let's talk about one of the first ones we saw, which was Aquaman, I believe.
Yes.
So what did you guys think of the Aquaman footage? We got basically a lot of behind-the-scenes footage from the movie. James Wan talked about how they just started filming and what the costume looks like, some of the set, and we saw some interesting characters that are going to be showing up. We got to see what King Orm looks like, or Ocean Master.
Yeah, Ocean Master.
So
call me Ocean Master.
And we got to see the return of Jason Momoa, Black Manta, with Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Yeah,
and
Amber Heard.
And yes, we got to see Amber Heard too, which was you know, I saw on the social media that was a bit of a hot topic.
But also, it was like, let's not focus, but
She's there, but whatever.
Move on, next scene.
Yeah. So, yeah, Damon, what did you think about the Aquaman footage?
I'm excited. Honestly, like, it's still... So, it blows me away that this movie is going to be out next December. Like, I have this weird feeling that it's not going to hit that, because this is a very effects-heavy movie, and that's like, 14 months away from now. So, I mean, if they could hit it, awesome. I think Aquaman did such a great job in 2018 hitting that December. It was obviously a super success. It's the highest-grossing DC film of all time, which is... crazy to think that Aquaman holds that title, but I think Momoa is great in the role, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Looks good. Looks really good.
Anthony?
Yeah, same. I didn't watch Aquaman in theaters, so I wasn't like the...
You didn't watch it with us?
No. I watched it later on.
You watched it on his phone.
At home. But yeah, I don't think I watched it with you guys in theaters.
No, you did not watch it with us.
Because I don't remember watching it. But yeah, I enjoyed Aquaman. I enjoyed the... I enjoyed the story that they told, because it was very similar to the year one comic, you know, the 52
restart. Jeff Johns one?
Yeah. I don't know if Jeff Johns did it. Did he do it?
I'm not
but
sure.
But it was that, yeah. It was that when they did that, they redid the origins of a lot of characters. So I enjoyed it. Amber Heard is, she, I don't know why they
she's
have
she's there.
She's there. Who's the brother? I keep forgetting the guy who plays in The Conjuring.
Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. You see him a lot.
Blonde hair.
A lot of like visual effects. A lot of like, I love the behind the scenes, because it really showcases like the amount of work that really has to go into this movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I'm super excited. I don't know where they're going to go, but I think if they continue with the comic series, they might have like some sort of, you know, invasion on Earth where humans and
the sea
and the sea will kind of like...
Are we still getting that trench movie, by the way?
Was that canceled? I feel like there was a fish in that in the featurette that kind of looked
there
like
definitely was a
the
fish.
Trench fish.
Jeff Johns, by the way. It was Jeff Johns and Ivan Reis who wrote.
I got to watch it again, but you're not wrong. They probably introduced them again. But yeah, there was talk about making a movie about just the trench. I don't think that's happening anymore.
No.
And I'm okay with that. Like, you don't need a movie about them.
The trench is, that's a new feature of Aquaman, because it makes Aquaman very dark, because it's this dark abyss creature that comes from like the abyss of the ocean.
No longer in the works of Warner Brothers.
There you go.
Yeah. We did report on that, I believe, too.
Maybe they'll include it in this storyline.
Maybe, yeah. Great sequence in the movie, though.
Yeah.
When they're all chasing
him. Fantastic sequence.
And the lights of flare underwater.
And I'm really glad that, you know, they didn't kill off Black Manta in the last film. They're keeping this villain, maybe not throughout all three, but at least developing him further. Because, you know, the common trend with almost all comic book movies typically is you have this giant villain and then that's it. They're one and done kind of film. So I'm glad that they're kind of keeping him because he needs to be redeemed, because in part one wasn't that great.
Yeah. And we see him like do a lot of fight sequences.
Yeah.
And you just wonder like, when did Yaya have the time to do all these movies? He did Candyman. Now he did The Matrix, and now he's into, you know, doing Aquaman.
He doesn't sleep.
Another fight sequence or another heavy fight.
Yeah.
Or
just a big epic
action sequence. So, I'm looking forward to him. I think he'll be more like
better utilized.
A huge impact to that world.
I wish that I think Black Manta. I'm a big fan of Black Manta from the comics, and for any fans of Young Justice, Black Manta is a huge villain in that show, and his son Caldor is Aqualad, who's a good guy. He's on the Justice League, and he's a leader there. I was not a big fan of the whole father son dynamic. I was a fan of the dynamic. I just wasn't a fan of how it was used in Aquaman.
In Aquaman,
because I just thought that there was just so many things like, oh, he's going to give his son the knife at the beginning of the movie. It's like that would have been something that would have been better as a flashback because Aquaman was getting or Arthur Curry was getting flashbacks. It would have made more sense for Yaya's character to have flashbacks as well too. Yeah. So just a weird dynamic that way. Yeah. I think it could have been a lot more impactful if it was sprinkled out throughout the movie more. And then he just kind of gets Atlantis technology and starts wrecking shit in Italy. And again, he looks really cool. I think he's very comic book accurate looking. I just hope that he's more of a force to be reckoned with in the sequel, especially if you have Yaya, who is during Aquaman, he wasn't the first film, But now he's like the most in-demand actor ever, so use that.
I agree with you. And then we got the flashes. Not so much a trailer, but it looks like just, you know, teases of visuals, really. And Anthony, I know you were really looking forward to this one. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's narrated by Michael Keaton as Batman, and he's, you know, kind of, he's calculating or figuring out where the Flash is coming from. So you're telling me you come from another multi, like a,
yeah, that you could travel from different multiverses, from
one universe to another.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to help you.
Yeah. Or like, he's like, what makes you want to stay here and save this one?
Why do you want to save this one? Yeah.
And then there, we realized that there's two Flashes.
Two Ezra Millers.
Two Ezra Millers. And that was interesting too, because it looks like he's captured himself in another timeline. There's Supergirl, and you're just wondering, how does the story all take place, and how does it like lead to Batman as being his mentor?
And Ben Affleck's in this too. Apparently, is Superman going to show
up? Villain? We don't even know the villain.
Like, yeah, we don't know who the villain is.
The villain is? Is the villain time itself?
Like, that's everybody's villain. Time.
That's
time
your villain, Anthony.
Time is undefeated.
There's the
add time to the bracket.
There's that speed villain, right? Like the one that's
Earbort Thorn, like the Reverse Flash.
Speaking reverse?
Yeah. No, there
that's
is.
That's his name, Ed Earbort.
You okay?
There is the Reverse Flash, but there's another. Like there is another gatekeeper of time, like
it's the Watcher,
and I forget what his name is, but he travels through time and he chases the Flash through time, because he's manipulating it, or he's moving through it,
right?
Not
properly. I'm so excited to see what this movie's going to be.
Yeah,
like I hope we get a proper trailer soon. This movie is coming out in July,
sure,
of next year. So hopefully we'll get. I don't know if we'll get something by the end of the year. I'm assuming now will be next year. We'll see it. Maybe in front of the Batman, maybe sooner, but
yeah, there's
I've always wanted a Flash movie.
Yeah, and there's like sequences in the Batcave.
Oh my God,
and they have the Batcar and
November.
5th.
Oh my God, yeah. So okay, we're not going to get a trailer for a while. Then.
The Ezra Miller thing, how he introduces this movie is just a little.
Yeah, people are not big fans of Ezra Miller, I understand. And now this movie has two Ezra Millers, so that's even.
But you know what? Seeing him. Used in this, like I liked his character, like the way the Flash is presented in Zack Snyder's Justice League, and I guess in what we've seen in this trailer, like I just wanted, we've never really gotten a chance for the Flash to really show off his personality wise, because you know, God bless it, the Snyder cut is like 17 hours long, and a lot of that isn't just like Flash character development, right?
For sure.
It's funny because I remember like when Superman Returns was coming out, I had like, you remember those like movie magic magazines?
Yeah.
I had one for Superman Returns, and there was a whole like article in it saying, the Superman Returns could maybe build to a Justice League movie. Obviously, this is back in 2006. And like who could play the Flash? And it was like, Ryan Reynolds is an up-and-coming actor who's very funny, who could see as a Flash. I 100% could have seen Ryan Reynolds as a Flash.
100%, yeah.
Back in the day, not now, since he's... Mm-hmm. Deadpool, but
he's dead.
Pool,
yeah. It's very interesting because I mean we've been talking about a Flash movie forever.
Ezra was announced as a Flash in 2014.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been this long running joke of directors coming and going off this film, and we didn't think we'd probably even see it because it just felt like it wasn't going to happen. So. It's cool. It's cool we're finally getting it, and it's cool that it's this kind of a Flash movie.
Yeah, it's very ambitious.
I remember we had a story where he was, you know, Ezra Miller and Grant Morrison were going to write
a
story, and then that fell through, and Ezra Miller, is he still writing this? Is he part of it?
No, he's not. Okay. I think that's one that was during the time when it really was in development.
Yeah.
Hell, before Andy Muschietti came on, and they have a great director attached to this. I think Andy's made some great films, and I'm just hoping to see where this goes. You know, DC has had luck with horror directors coming in with, obviously, James Wan and David Sandberg. So, we'll see.
And if you think about it, it's Snyder. You know,
Snyder as well, too.
He was a horror director as well. Christina Hodson is the one who is writing this film, who you remember from Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she also wrote something else, Bumblebee, that we really liked also.
Right, so. Yeah. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of great ingredients in this recipe. I just hope that... when we get it next year, it's going to taste good. Maybe, you know what?
I'm going to move past it.
Keep going.
Yeah. Peacemaker also. We got a nice little trailer about that. The show will be coming out in January. This is an HBO Max original show based off the character Peacemaker from The Suicide Squad by James Gunn. James Gunn is directing 5 out of the 8 episodes. I thought this trailer was pretty good. There was something about it that maybe it didn't stick too much with me. And I don't know if it was just some of the comedy that just didn't resonate with me. And I think with TV shows, I think I have this problem where it's hard for you to show me 8 episodes into a 2-minute timeline and kind of give me like a throughput of a story. So it didn't hit me the strongest. I didn't remember it too much after either, but I'm still looking forward to it. I think the characters that they have are great. I mean, Peacemaker and John Cena was a standout in the Suicide Squad movie, which we watched during the summer. So I'm going to be excited for it when it comes out, but the trailer wasn't the greatest for me. What do you think, Daniel?
I'm the exact same place with it. Again, I'm excited to watch the show, but like you said, when it comes to trailers for television shows, even on our own show, I know we're the movie podcast, we don't cover that many TV show trailers because there's only so much that you could really talk about. At least with a movie trailer, you get a better idea. But when you're on a show, there's so many arcs that you're covering. I'm excited to see John Cena. I'm excited to see more of the show. 100% we're going to watch it and talk about it. But yeah, again, it was fun. But I also think this was one of those segments that was also going on a little too long. Because we had the basically the Zoom call of us all talking. And again, I'm kind of past that now. With the pandemic. You mentioned earlier that the budget definitely looked better this year. I just think it's because people weren't in their houses with makeshift green screens and stuff behind them. It actually looked a lot nicer. It was more of a studio look to it. But yeah, when it comes to these panel discussions with just the talking heads, I think those moments really slow down. As interested as I am in it, save that for its own video, release that. Aside from this, hey, go to YouTube right now and watch a discussion with this, but you got to keep the show going. There's a hype level you got to maintain.
That was like the bathroom break moment and like, oh, you guys want any snacks? Or let's go downstairs for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's like I liked what they were talking about, but when you're in a show with the fandom, you just want something that's going to keep your attention. As soon as the attention starts wavering, that's when the phones come out, and then that's when we want to start doing everything else. You have to keep that momentum going throughout.
I totally agree with that. I think even when they were talking, and yes, they had important things to say, a lot of it was just inside information that doesn't make sense to us as viewers,
or maybe, just stuff that don't make sense because we haven't watched the show yet.
Yeah, you know? This was pre-recorded.
So nothing was live.
One thing they could have done while they were talking is cut to a lot of the stuff that they were talking about.
Right.
Rather than doing the featurette, then doing this live panel and then showing just their faces. And it gets boring. Our attention span, this is 2022. Like, we're...
What?
2021. No, I'm just rounding up.
Oh, okay. You're rounding up.
Do you round up your years when you're in them?
Yeah. I round up.
Interesting.
Because we're so close to 2022. Might as well.
Just round up to the next decade, man. Yeah. You know?
2022. When 2022 hits, that's when everyone's birthday is. Really.
I don't understand.
You don't wait for the day.
I'm finding out so many things I didn't want to know today. Like, Anthony's
were we talking about time? Or was that time...
We've talked about time with Anthony before. Time and Anthony are enemies. Yeah. You know that.
And
sure.
Anthony's always said he doesn't like time and movies.
Time travel movies. You know, even though he loves like The Matrix and he loves Terminator, those are all time based films.
Were we talking on the show about? No, that was before we started recording. We were already talking about.
What time was it though?
We were talking about the Halloween episode and how it's not going to release on the 1st of November because it's not.
Before we recorded,
that was before.
And Anthony said, but what about countries that are still on the 30th? And I'm like, Anthony, how far do you think time extends itself to?
Time.
Anthony's sharpening his knife.
I usually round up, but yeah, 2021. We'll say 2021.
Sounds good.
Our attention spans are very short. Even for my age, it's like, let's go. Let's keep going. What are you even talking about? Like, I don't even know what
this, I don't even know
this. I don't even know what this movie show is about, really. And you're just talking about all these amazing things, but some of it is not so amazing. Yeah. But I like to see James Gunn there. Like, you know, seeing his face really makes me want to watch it.
Because he's part of it.
Because he's part of it. Yeah. And I know he's directing a couple of episodes, quite a bit of episodes.
Five of the eight. And he's always said that he'll never come on and guest direct an episode of a show. He'll only ever want to direct something that he's like written or created from the ground up. So it gives me hope that there's going to be that polish and that through line from the Suicide Squad to Peacemaker.
Yeah. And the Peacemaker gave me the Boys vibe in terms of like the mature humor in a superhero setting.
A lot of dick jokes.
Yes, a lot of dick jokes. The eagle hugging.
Oh my God. That was pretty funny. I think that got the biggest laugh.
Even in the car when he's driving and the eagle's just like looking out the window, like that made me laugh.
Yeah. That was really funny.
And John Cena, he's a character himself. He has such a...
Talk about his suits.
He always is in suits for some reason. Yeah. Like that's his
from a man gimmick. Who's always just in usually a unitard or underwear.
No, well,
fighting. Not even. All of a sudden now he was in suits.
He was like an urban street fighter, we'll say. Like he was like, I grew up in the hood. I have like jerseys on.
Yeah,
and like
that's true. He did
pumps
have
and
on, yeah.
I was fast. Like that.
But he would
dude.
Also be shirtless.
But
too.
Now he's yes.
But maybe he's just like, you know what? I'm rich now. I'm going to dress like I'm rich.
Now I'm in suits all the time. Yeah. And he kind of looks like Vince McMahon in a bit.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
He's
dude.
Just always ready to go to a meeting.
He's just a weird, like, he's just a weird body shape, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just
very muscular.
Muscles? But, like.
You know what it is, too? I think
they're so big, they make him smaller? Isn't that weird?
They make everything else around him smaller. I think also, too, because he's so personable and funny. And I'm like, why are you so strong? Like, leave the funny things to the people with the awkward body.
Up,
you know,
yeah.
Why are you looking like you're going to make me like die of laughter while you're beating me up? You know.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for it. Can't wait to watch it on HBO Max. I'm really glad that a lot like HBO Max is sucking all these things in, and hopefully the budget is there.
That's what they need to do, right?
Like, it's a lot of these shows that have been airing from all these different areas are now going HBO Max, and the budget I hope is there. Or these TV series to continue.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm gonna converge these next two together, and that'll be Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Black Adam. So Black Adam, we finally saw the opening sequence. I feel like Black Adam's also been in development for 40 years, it feels like, because they've been talking about making this movie for so long.
2006 is when they first started development on Black Adam.
So this movie needs to kick ass, and it's directed by the same gentleman who directed Jungle Cruise, Yama Colet.
Yeah.
Yeah? So we got to see the opening sequence. I thought, you know, it was cool to see Black Adam's strength, but I don't know why I got like Tom Cruise, the Mummy vibes from it. I hope it's good.
I think, you know what it is? I think we've seen so time after time, we've just seen, oh, people exploring cave, something bad happens in cave. Releases thing to worlds.
Yeah.
Like, even within the DCEU, it's like Shazam has done that. A Suicide Squad has done that. It's such a common trope. And I think it was. Because we got, you know, him catching the bullets and kind of rising from the ground. I wanted to see a shot of him in the suit proper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See his face and his ears. Because Black Adam has very
like the pointy ears.
Pointy ears.
Yeah.
So it makes his face very long.
Yeah. I wanted a money shot, especially because this is coming in the summer. Like, give us something.
If with the hood on and he looked up and you saw his eyes.
His eyes glowing or something like that.
Glowing
like
white. Because that's the smoky white. Like, because the hood with the smoky white eyes, just, it would have been sick.
Yeah.
It's just this thing of like, you know, you show us the Flash, which is still shooting, and you showed us a lot. You gave us a tonal piece there. But when you have Black Adam's opening sequence, which was cool, but like it didn't give me too much to be excited about, I think.
It's funny though, because like they kind of did this last year with the Batman, where we got a Batman trailer and they were still shooting. It was only 25% done shooting. But the Suicide Squad, we only got that behind the scenes footage.
Yeah.
And the Suicide Squad came out in August, and the Batman's not coming out till March.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that
they pick and choose
how development's going. I thought it was funny that you said you're going to kind of merge Black Adam and Shazam together, because Warner Brothers isn't doing that. Yeah. they're in the same world, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, it would be crazy. So Shazam, Fury of the Gods, you know, starring the original cast from the first film, but now we have Helen Mirren and we have Lucy Liu.
And Rachel Zegler. Joining the cast.
Rachel Zegler joining the cast, you're right. And, you know, we didn't get, again, a trailer. We got a lot of behind-the-scenes footage. They're shooting in Atlanta this time, I think, in Australia, I think they shot as well. No longer Toronto, which is kind of sad. I love when they were shooting here because you'd see footage all the time. That also looks good. I'm really looking forward to it. We enjoyed the first one. We had a good time with it. What did you guys think of the footage for this one?
I I was surprised it had so much footage and not actual movie footage.
Right.
You know, like they were showing Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu in their costumes and a lot of explosions. And we saw the whole family together and the actors that play the family as well. Brody is in it and so on. So it would look like they had a lot of footage to show as a featurette, but nothing was edited yet.
Right.
But interesting to see the characters that they're going to be utilizing inside this movie, like the creatures, like a lot of the mythical creatures that we might have seen in other shows, so minotaurs and cyclopses and so on. So looks interesting. I don't know much about the villains in this movie, but I love Shazam.
Shazam.
I love that the idea of Shazam and played by this kid who's not even a kid anymore. If you really
dude, they, look that's old, what I was man. Say. They look so much older now. So
Asher older. Something.
Asher
Angel. Yeah, he looked like he's was playing 40 years
he's
old.
He's playing adult Shazam now. Yeah, Zachary Levi.
Zachary Levi's playing Grandpa Shazam.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. You know, are you excited as well?
I'm very excited. Again, this is coming out June 2023, so we have a really long wait.
So.
Really long. Filming. Like, how is this going to come out after Aquaman? That's what I don't get.
Aquaman's still filming. Aquaman, Shazam is done filming.
And Aquaman is all water. Like, it's all water.
All water.
Like, it's all underwater.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Now, you said in the beginning that DC or Warner Brothers are not merging the Black Adam and the Shazam together. Maybe you could give the audience a little bit of...
Oh, a little bit of insight. Yeah. So, basically, David F. Sandberg said that, you know, Black Adam is not in... Shazam Fury of the Gods, and Shazam is not in Black Adam. And there was a small little tease of Black Adam in the first Shazam film, but it's just interesting that, again, this could have all just be lip service, and this is I'm trying to maybe play it down, but you would have thought that there would have been a little bit more connection between the two projects. Maybe there is. Again, we don't know because these are still pretty far out, but are we ever going to see Shazam versus Black Adam? Like, I don't know.
How could you not?
How can you not? Like, they're literally...
It's
like one's dark version of the light version.
Yeah. Batman and the Joker. Like, how could you right now? I mean, technically, we do have a Joker movie being made.
Yeah.
And we have a Batman movie being made.
Yeah. But we've seen Batman and the Joker on screen together.
Yeah.
Before,
but like, if you're making the projects at the same time, why would you not?
In this day and age,
not where have people some type want of
some sort of continuity with their films and having these characters go from one film to another film.
And I think that's where I'm at right now with the DC fandom stuff. Because it's like, okay, Aquaman is still DCEU, right? Mm-hmm. Flash, still DCEU. Shazam was and it kind of wasn't at some points, it felt like.
They acknowledged it, yeah.
You know? So it just, it's and then Wonder Woman 3 technically got...
Announced.
Got a thumbs, hey, yeah, we're working on it.
Patty J's.
When do you think Wonder Woman 3 comes out?
2025.
Me too. Good talk.
All right. Yeah, because Gal Gadot she was going to take time to be with her family. I think she was actually... She's pregnant at the moment.
I think she's recording another video for Imagine. I think Imagine 2.
Imagine 2.
She's getting all the celebs together, and then
and even Patty Jenkins. She has all these other pieces that she's going to.
Do you think Star Wars comes out before Wonder Woman 3? Her Rogue Squadron movie.
I don't even know where they're at with that. I think we'll find out more at the Disney Investor Day.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think they'll probably acknowledge it because they acknowledged it last time.
Yeah. I wonder what Investor Day is going to be like this year because we have Disney Plus Day happening. And what does...
That's what I meant. Yeah
Disney Plus Day is happening, but that's not going to be a Disney Plus movie, right? Yeah, so are we going to have an Investor Day still? These are questions.
D23
next year, maybe?
Next year, right?
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know. Like, you were talking about, you said you don't think it would... Like, you don't think the production will
go through
with it.
It's not that I don't. I wouldn't be surprised if they... Maybe they pivot. You know, we're gonna be on some star cosmic resources tomorrow.
The movie podcast says has left production, according to Daniel Baptiste.
This chain reaction starts this huge war between you and
Anthony. Afraid of Kitt time starts calling us out onto bars. We're so sorry, man.
Someone called Shay a dirty bastard. Oh, man. All right, let's jump into our next story, which is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hold on.
What the hell is your problem?
I don't think...
I know, but listen. I almost wanted to to wait on it.
You want to make the audience wait too.
Let's do it.
It's up to you.
No, let's do it.
All right.
I think it's fine. I'm looking right at it too. This is the worst part about it. He's looking at me in the face.
Got you. Smallville 20th anniversary.
Let's talk about how Tom Welling's goatee was.
It was there.
So let's talk about Matt Reeves and his little passion project that he's making called The Batman.
Something in the way. Ooh.
That's all we have to say about it.
I'm going
to
jump out this window right now.
And stab Daniel in the face.
Wow, okay.
That's aggressive.
It's correct, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz showed up on the screen and talked about how it was like filming this movie. And again, as cool as that was, we were all just kind of like tuned out waiting for this trailer, waiting for the words, and here's the trailer.
Right.
They dropped this trailer. This trailer starts off with this. It looks right out of Zodiac and Prisoners, in my opinion. You have Paul Dano sitting inside of this
diner.
Yeah. And police are surrounding him. They capture him. And there's a little question mark inside of his coffee, a.k.a. Mr. Riddler.
the barista, whoever did that.
She's like, do you like questions?
You want a question mark?
Why do you want a question mark? Okay, fine. I'll do that for you. So this trailer, now the movie's pretty much done filming. Almost.
It is done filming.
So they're done filming. This is now a trailer where we're getting a lot more footage. That first trailer is still one of the greatest, but man, this trailer kicked so much ass. Daniel, give me your thoughts on this trailer.
Man, last year's trailer, I think, blew us away because we didn't expect what we got. This year's trailer blew us away because it was just more of what we loved. And my God, what a trailer that was. I've watched it like 20 times.
Yeah. I was going to put it in my what we're watching because I think I've watched it
times. I think it's deserving of it to equal a full movie. Yeah. It's incredible. I think this is a Batman movie that, again, I don't say this lightly as I'm looking at all the Batman stuff in the movie podcast studio right now. This has the potential to be one of my favorite Batman movies ever. Mm-hmm. This has the potential to be, might be one of my favorite movies ever. Yeah. Again, I haven't seen this movie yet, so I'm saying these things based on what it has fed us so far. This is looking incredible. Robert Pattinson as Batman is never something that I think anyone anticipated, but holy shit, this looks like the perfect blend between Prisoners, Zodiac, Seven. It looks so dark and creepy, but also this Batman kicks so much ass. This is the first time I've ever watched a Batman project, and it's felt ripped right out of the pages of a comic book. And not just, yes, like
a graphic novel.
Like a graphic novel. Like, yes, Snyder's Batman had that, but Snyder's Batman Ben Affleck's Batman is a great Batman in not so great Batman movies, right? Same with Nolan's Batman. Phenomenal stories, but his Batman was a little bit of a different Batman, right? This feels like it's right out of like a comic book and like a graphic novel, and I love that. And I also love that we didn't get to see Paul Dano's face at all in this. Just like from the side, reflection of his eye. The action looks incredible. Colin Farrell looks amazing as Penguin. I'm really hoping that we do get that spin-off series.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, who is such a crucial character to Batman. And I'm so glad that we're getting her introduced in the first movie. And they're going to kind of have their rise up together because Selina Kyle is a crucial character to Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that we're really getting it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I just can't wait to see them interact together and just work together and, you know, betray each other. And just, oh, man, what a trailer. What a trailer.
Right after watching this trailer, I was in the mood for something that kind of reminded me of what we just watched. So and when we get to our what we're watching, but I'll spoil it for now, I restarted Mindhunter yesterday because, man, like, that's the vibe that I got. Like,
definitely.
Serial killers, David Fincher, just all of that. Anthony, what about you? What was your reaction?
Yeah, I really like the trailer. I think what we saw last year and what we saw this year, the story is very similar to what we were expecting, and the color correction and just the visuals and the characters that are being introduced. I'm glad that this is the movie. With test footage, the footage that we saw last year, it was literally like 20% of that footage.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what to expect, but it looks like what we were hoping. He continued. So Matt Reeves continued this look of a noir style Batman, and it's very gritty, and this will probably be the darkest story of Bruce Wayne as Batman. We see him very angry and scarred, and In the Mud and Unstoppable Vengeance. So I'm super excited for it.
Wow.
March 4th can't come any sooner.
I agree. Next story, like I mentioned, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Will Poulter to play Adam Warlock in next installment of Marvel franchise. It's coming from Justin Kroll of Deadline. After teasing his appearance at the end of the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Adam Warlock looks ready to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the next installment of the hit franchise. Sources tell Deadline that Will Poulter has landed the role of Warlock in Marvel's anticipated sequel. James Gunn is returning to direct, with Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige producing. Like with any Marvel film, details behind the plot are being kept under lock and key. Production is expected to start in November. The character was first teased in a post-credits scene in the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 when Aisha, played by Elizabeth Debicki, unveils to her chambermaid the perfect sovereign she has created to help destroy the Guardians once and for all. Sources say Gunn and execs began their lengthy search for the person who would be playing Warlock at the end of August, with Poulter meeting along with several other actors for the coveted part. As it is common with any major Marvel property, execs and Gunn took their time with the role given how excited fans were when it was first teased. In the end, Poulter's test was too good to pass up. Daniel, as a fellow man of the eyebrows.
The man of the brow?
Man of the brow. How do you feel about another man of the brow receiving this mantle?
This mantle. Yeah, I think Will Poulter is he's a great actor. He's a really great actor. I think everything that he's been in, he's always played a character that you're not supposed to like. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and like I'm looking, like, especially in like
War of the Millers, Detroit.
He has that face
that you don't want to like him, but he's a great actor. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see him because Adam Warlock is supposed to be like that golden god that like I am better than everybody. So I'm excited to see how he's going to play that. And it's going to be cool. Honestly, again, James Gunn coming back for this is something that I'm so happy is actually happening. I'm glad he's able to wrap up his Guardians trilogy. And I just want to see what this movie is. Because we know we have the Guardians Holiday Special, which is going to be coming out next Christmas. And then we'll have this coming out in the, I guess, 2023, May 2023. So I'm looking forward to it. I just can't wait. This movie seems like it's going to be huge and crazy and out there. And I'm all for it because I'm a big fan of Guardians Volume 2. It's a movie I think about often. Even though I don't think it's as loved as the first film, mm-hmm. It's a lot more of a mature of a film, which I really like. And I just want to see where these characters go. And especially with the Guardians, this team is going to be either significantly changed by the end of this movie. So I'm curious who stays, who goes, and whoever is going to be part of it. I'm just so glad that we're talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy like they are the Justice League at this point, right? Like they are such a beloved bunch of characters that here we are talking them in the leagues of all these other superheroes, right?
Yeah. Anthony, what about you?
Yeah, I like Will Poulter as a character actor, and I don't know much about Adam Warlock. I think he was the one who was designed to take down Thanos, if I'm not correct, in the future, in the comic books. He was the one, sure. He was the being of sorts. So I'm interested to see where the story goes. And
I think he did wield the gauntlet though. Like did he? Yeah. I think it was something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, I love the Guardians of the Galaxy. I wasn't a fan in the beginning, but I think the characters and actors that portray them do a really good job of portraying them. And I think James Gunn is the number one thing behind all that. And I think without James Gunn, there is no Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or even whatever it looks like in the future. So who knows if this will be his last, maybe not. I think he's very inclined to make comic book movies for a very long time. Like that's his
wheelhouse.
Yeah. Wheelhouse. Like I don't see him doing anything else until maybe later on in his career. But yeah, I'm super excited.
Always blows me that Will Poulter is British.
Yeah, but he does have a British face.
Well, he has a British face.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Because you've never seen him play a British character.
Yeah,
he's
so.
Mostly like the guy you hate. Like in Detroit, you hated him.
Oh, he's so evil in that movie, man. He's so evil.
What was the last movie I saw him in? He always reminds me of the kid from Toy Story. Like
Sid.
Yeah. 100%. It's like fucking Sid in real life.
Yeah, he is. 100% he's Sid.
Yeah. You might have seen him recently in Underground Railroad, or he was in Midsommar, which we watched, and we hated him in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He also did the Black Mirror Bandersnatch one that showed up on like the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, the interactive one, yeah.
So, yeah, but I remember in Midsommar, yeah, hated him for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next story we have here today is the IATSE set strike date for 60,000 film and television workers, ratcheting pressure on studios. Brett Lang of the Variety, negotiations to prevent a strike that could bring the film and television production business to its knees are going down to the wire. Matthew Loeb, president of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, said early Wednesday that unless an agreement is reached, 60,000 union members will begin a nationwide strike against the major studios on October 18th at 12:01 a.m. So, if you're listening to this, you're probably know more than we do at this point.
Yeah, right now. You definitely do.
Such a work stoppage would be catastrophic, halting production across the U.S. Union members are demanding better hours and working conditions, saying that the surge, in production over the past decade has led to long hours and dangerous situations on set. Loeb said the union will continue bargaining with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers this week in the hopes of reaching an agreement that addresses core issues. The unions are seeking a 10-hour turnaround between shifts for all workers, as well as a 55-hour turnaround on weekends. They are also seeking increased meal penalties as a way to force productions to stop for lunch and an end to discounted rates for streaming services. This is huge. I mean, again, we've talked a lot about how whatever your work you're doing, get your bag, get the money you deserve, get what you're owed. Mm-hmm. And these people who are working in the industry, we wouldn't be able to talk about what we're talking about today without these people that are busting their ass out there.
Well said.
I also know the fact that like we have a lot of premieres happening this week, and technically today when you're listening on Monday is the premiere for Eternals in L.A. If this does go down, we might see that either this premiere get canceled or just kind of end up in a weird spot. So there's a lot riding on the line here. But at the end of the day, we are going to totally hear back the IATSE because they deserve it. They are hardworking people. Mm-hmm. Anthony, please give us your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's sad to see that, you know, when Hollywood got out of one or is still in it, we're still in this pandemic, with being a big chunk of the reasoning for the downfall of Hollywood for the last year, and now going into another issue with a strike, it sucks. But I think for the people who make films, it is important to get their bag. You know, when we talk about all the other people who are getting paid huge amounts of money, and we're talking about meals and time, and like that should have been thought of beforehand. Like, we should have been doing that a long time ago. I think this idea of like rushing to get films and make money, you know, Hollywood doesn't care about movies. They don't. They care about money. Mm-hmm. They don't care about movies. But these people who make the movies do care about movies because they want to make these movies. They want to be part of it. So I think this is important for them to, and if there is a strike, fuck it. There is a strike. If it lasts a year, it sucks because this is our industry, but see, we're enabling this because we never fixed it in the first place. Mm-hmm. We're so greedy, or Hollywood is so greedy that they won't help these people out when they should have been.
I think, yeah, it's so true. We are always like, you know, for all the content that we consume and devour and burn through, we have to remember that there are thousands of people that, you know, we could burn through something in a weekend, but you know, that was 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years of their lives sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we often say that, you know, Hollywood is all glitz and glamour, but the real people working on these productions is a very blue collar job. Like, these are jobs that people wake up in the morning, they go to their job, they do their thing, they're there all day. They don't see their families. They work holidays. They're there on weekends. They work crazy hours. And they should be compensated for that. 100%. Get your bag, as we always say. And this hopefully will get resolved. Hopefully they get what they deserve. And, they could keep working, and you know, movies and shows could keep being made, but be made because the people who are making them are getting taken care of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tom Cruise needs to be their spokesperson because he's very vocal on making movies.
He is. Get those COVID robots and
cobots. Don't worry about them. I build COVID robots. Yeah, get those. Help me make movies.
Those cobots and you know, reprogram them to, you know, do something else. But yeah, definitely the people who make the films are not just the writers, the directors. There are the entire crews behind them, and they need
visual effects artists, the grips, the people who set up the lights, the guys who run the cords, the guys who...
The people who do the catering, the publicists. The
all those names.
Respect the names in the credits, you know? Yeah. Respect the names.
Yeah.
But as of, I think, what we saw on Friday or Saturday, negotiations ceased. So I don't think they're negotiating anything.
Unless it's like a late thing, we'll see what's going to happen this week.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. So
this is a huge deal.
Yeah. So we're gonna obviously keep you guys updated on everything that happens. Maybe you'll see some of our tweets that will correspond to this, because again, this is something that's going to be changing constantly. And by the time you listen to this, it's probably already old news, like really old news. So let's see what happens. But let's jump into our box office. Cha-ching! Oh, that was good. So yes, it feels good to go back to the box office. I love that we're back at the box office. And let's talk about the box office. Can you talk about the box office, Daniel?
Ridley Scott's not happy about the box office, though.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that. So Halloween Kills, which our review is up for on our page, please go ahead and give that a listen. It's number one at the box office this weekend with $50.4 million. That's a lot of money. That's a lot more money.
Biggest horror debut in the pandemic.
Yep.
Also biggest debut for a film that also is premiering on a streaming service, but that is also just goes to show that nobody gives a shit about Peacock.
I told you, man, Peacock is one of those things where like no one cares, no one wants it.
So
it's not a big deal.
You know, like I'm just trying to gauge. People don't want Peacock, but they could have watched this movie on Peacock for free.
Well, yeah,
or because like if they you could sign
up.
It, yeah,
yeah, because they could sign up for seven day free trial. They rather go watch it in theaters.
Then pay for Peacock.
But then shows how much people HBO hate Max Peacock. Can't get people to sign up, and their movies are not making money, but people are watching it. Illegally.
But this is also it's weird. But this is also a horror movie though in October.
Yeah.
So like they know like this is a Halloween movie in October. They know
this made more than the first. Did it make not or very similar to the 2018?
I feel like the 2018 one did like.
30 million?
I think it did like 80 or 90, no? Or maybe I'm just misremembering that.
Opening weekend?
35 mil.
I don't know.
We'll find it.
It is also surprising because with all the news coming from this Halloween and how awful it is, you can hear our review and listen to our review. It's in the...
Halloween Kills.
Oh, domestic Kills, opening was 76 million.
Yeah, I knew it made like almost 80 million.
Yeah, almost 80 million.
Which is, not bad.
On a budget of $10
million. So really good. So amazing.
And worldwide, it did about $255 million. Now, this one over here, Halloween Kills, has a budget of...
Well, can be more than $10 million.
I don't have it here on me, but let's just say, probably not more than $10 million. You can kind of see that. This one has less locations than the first one.
It did have a lot less locations than the first one.
And again, so far hitting at about 5 million internationally and domestically 50 million, 55 million. This is going to do well. I'm curious. I wonder if it's going to have a big drop because, again, not a good movie. So we'll
see. Not a good movie. And also, look what's coming out this week.
We'll find out.
We'll tell you very soon.
Very soon. Actually, one more thing and then after
okay.
that.
Okay.
Before we go, where's Venom and where's Bond?
I'm going to get to them right now. Okay. So No Time to Die is sitting at 24.3 million. It had about like a 50% drop.
Yeah.
So not horrible.
But also needs to make $900 million to break even.
Which it won't. So
I think it's at 450 worldwide right now.
It's not gonna make close to a billion.
No.
I don't even think it'll make 700 million.
I think you and I were discussing it, Anthony, that we were gonna say it's probably gonna cap out at about 500 to 600.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say the same?
I agree.
Yeah.
I concur.
All right. Venom, Let There Be Carnage was sitting at 16.5 million on third
place. Which movie? Sorry?
Venom.
Which one?
I'm going to do it, eh?
No, don't do it.
Venom, Let There Be Carnage, 16.5 million. People are just like immediately turning off their iPhones. I was going to say, what radios? What channel are we on?
Are we being broadcast?
This is 98.5. And Adam's Family 2 did 7.2 million. And then a movie that we loved here. The Last Duel opened with 4.8 million.
Yikes. Oh. Sorry, Ridley.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Ben.
But also, this movie had, again, great movie. This movie had no business to be opening up in October.
Against a Halloween movie.
No. Drop. This is a Christmas Day movie.
A Christmas Day movie.
That you go watch it, limited release.
But even on Christmas Day, you think it would have made...
It would have made more money on Christmas Day than it would have
100%
on this whole weekend alone.
Yeah, because that's usually when a family will go watch a movie about this stuff.
It was supposed to come out...
like medieval stuff, not the...
I don't know about this
not the
subject
attack.
Matter.
Yeah. Not the attack.
No, but like Christmas Day, popular day at the movie theater.
This movie was supposed to come out in December of last year.
And it would have been a lot done a lot better, I think.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Sad. But it didn't make off a lot of money. There was no sequel that's going to come out of this.
I don't think
they have a story for a sequel.
But
that's $100 million budget.
Duel.
It's the last duel, too. What?
Still dueling.
Still dueling.
I'm still alive.
Still dueling.
What was I going to say? No, I think awards season, when it comes, I think this movie will showcase its face. And a lot of people will then want to watch it.
But I also think it will be on streaming by then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it may be on Disney Plus by
then.
Which
is why for December it would have been perfect, because it would have stayed in awards, you know, word of mouth, and people would have gone to see it knowing closer that it's going to get awards.
Yeah.
So these producers who made this film, not going to make a lot.
No.
They might not be producers anymore.
Damn.
Oh, Ridley Scott will be... Rich, though.
Ridley Scott's okay. I think he'll be
okay. He doesn't even know he did this movie, I think. He's like, okay, so when's House of Gucci coming out?
What do you think Ridley Scott sounds like,
by the
way?
I've never heard him talk. So.
Is he Russian?
Let's jump into some trailers. So we got three trailers talking about today, and the first one is The Black Phone, directed by Scott Derrickson and starring Ethan Hawke. Now, this is a film that he's working in collaboration with Blumhouse. After he pretty much left working on Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, after a falling out, he went on to go ahead and make this back to his, you know, wheelhouse of horror movies. This is a cool trailer. I thought it was very creepy. I thought it was, it really kind of gave me some nerves.
Yeah, it was an interesting character for Ethan Hawke. When you see him with his black mask, it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
There are a lot of horror aspects to it, and then sort of some paranormal horror type of thing. January, it's coming out in January.
It's horror month now, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird time to come out. It should have come out in October. I think this movie's pretty much done.
Yeah, but I also think, because they showed it off at, CinemaCon? Or did they show the trailer?
I think they showed
the trailer. But again, this is, you know, it's Scott Derrickson. It's C. Robert Cargill who wrote it with Scott Derrickson. This is the team behind Sinister, so you know it's going to be some fucked up shit. And very scary. So we'll see. But yeah, it's always now just, like, it's not just a month. Like, January isn't what it used to be, where it's just, like, dump bad movies.
Yes. Yeah.
It's bad movies and really good horror movies.
This is February 4th.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, February 4th. You know? It had a premiere, though, at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, that's it.
On the 25th of September. But yeah, it is going to be a February movie, the first week of February.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, we think, oh, why is this coming out this month? Why is it coming out in January, February? Because every superhero movie is taking every other month. So these movies are just trying to survive at this point. Because like now look at March. March used to be maybe one Disney movie, a big animated movie. Now you have two of the biggest comic book movies of all time dropping within 3 weeks of each other. Batman, 3 weeks later, Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. We also got a trailer for Hawkeye, which will be dropping two episodes on its premiere, which is November 24th.
Yes.
So that's exciting.
So good. Looks so good.
I'm excited for that. Excited too, Anthony?
Yep.
Sounds good. And we finally got a trailer for the fifth installment of the Scream franchise, aptly called Scream.
That's coming out in January.
That's coming out in January.
Yes, it is.
That is a January film. Anthony, you're a screamaholic. You're always screaming, in my opinion. What did you think of this trailer?
I liked it. I really did. I like the nostalgic part of it. I like Sidney Prescott's line. I'm Sidney Prescott. I always have a gun.
Yeah.
It's an honor, Sidney.
Yeah, I just want to watch it. I just want to know who Scream is. Who's the ghost face this time?
Yeah.
What's the story? What are you telling me?
Yeah. What about you, Daniel?
It looks fun. Yeah. Again, I like Scream. I've only seen the first two. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to see what this is going to bring in January. And I thought the trailer was fine. It just, again, we're in a weird spot with all of these like reboots or soft reboots where it's like, let's call them the same name as the first movie, but technically this is Scream 5. So it's just, you know, as long
as it's like uncool to have like a subtitle now or like
it's not or a number.
A number. Yeah.
Because I guess marketing wise, maybe they don't do that good. But when you're trying to search for a movie, you type in Scream, like it's like
2022,
you know? So like, are you typing in the year? Let's just hope that this movie is good, but not good enough to revitalize the Scary Movie franchise.
Oh, you mean, sorry, the parodies.
The parodies.
Scream 4 was a good movie.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like, but I don't want to for it to bring back like Scary Movie.
He doesn't want to bring back the parodies.
No, I know.
Yeah, not Scary Movies in general. I'm just Scary Movie
in relation to like just the character, the story. Like Scream 4 was a good Scream,
but also 10 years old now. Crazy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Oh.
One love.
Oh, it's not dead.
Well, Wes Craven is
also true.
Is he?
Yeah, Wes Craven.
He died a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but is he though?
What if he's the killer in Scream 5?
Shit. Don't give away the ending.
This that'd be pretty meta.
Yeah. It was me all along.
All along.
I faked my death.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually
I'll respect the Craven family. And
yeah, we're so sorry. We're so sorry.
We're so sorry.
No, I think he would like that because he's a horror director, man.
Yeah.
We're horror talking now.
Yeah. Welcome to horror talking now.
Horror talking now.
The podcast within a podcast.
Podcast featuring the guy who called Shay a dirty bitch. out this week, we have finally, and we have a review up for it, but we're going to probably push a review harder this week. Dune. That's my Dune song. Dune is out this week, finally. Anthony, are you excited for Dune?
Yeah. I didn't buy tickets, though.
Okay. You just going to steal tickets then, or what are you going to do?
I don't know. I might... I don't know what else.
You might watch it on HBO Max.
I might watch
I'm down to go watch with you if you want to go watch.
Maybe.
Oh, thanks, man, for the invite.
What day do you want to go watch it?
You want to go watch with them?
Yeah, but you just said, I'm down to go watch it with you.
Oh, do you want me to... All of a sudden...
Just because you went to go see The Last Duel with Anthony.
Do you want me to just include
No, I don't
want to
watch it with any of these two.
Wow.
You ever say, oh, we're down to go. What if you then turn around and say, oh, wow, thanks, man, for including me. I don't want to go watch it. I hated Dune.
Yeah, but I'd rather be included than not included. Let me turn down the inclusion, then turn down the non-inclusion.
I get that. Next time, I'll be more aware. And we have the French Dispatch, or the Francais Dispatch.
I will watch that with you guys.
That's two Chalamet films in 1 week.
Two Chalets, yeah.
Two Chalets.
This is a good week for the movie podcast as we're, you know, the Timothy Chalamet fan club here.
It is. This should have been a Chalamet episode, but again, fandom came out.
We should. Is there a fandom for Chalamet?
Chalamet Dome.
Yeah. Chalamet Dome?
Chalamet
Sounds
Dome.
Sounds like another French person that we
it
don't
does,
know yet.
Yeah.
But let's jump into what we're watching. Let's start off with Daniel.
That's a great question, Shay. What have I been watching? So we've been, we were off last week, so we didn't get to talk about it. I've been burning through The Sopranos.
Went past me.
Well, I did somehow. You know, today's the 17th of October, and I have 7 episodes of The Sopranos left. Oh, and goodness. I started on October 1st.
I can't do that, but that's good. I'm glad you did.
I just been swearing at my family.
And that explains your razor guy.
You know, right? That I think, you know, he's from New Jersey. Sure. He's probably from Hoboken. I don't know. So I've been burning through Sopranos. Great show. Honestly, Breaking Bad is still my number one show. Mm-hmm. But again, it's hard to say that. Because The Sopranos was almost 10 years before it.
Yeah.
It was 10 years its senior.
Yeah.
So Sopranos, you're watching it and you see why the show is
the way
it is and why it changed the world of television, the stories that we tell there. Also, obviously, The Last Duel, you could check out a review of that, as well as No Time to Die, Halloween Kills. Ron's Gone Wrong, we got to check out. So we'll be speaking to somebody who worked on the movie, so stay tuned for that for next week's episode. We won't tell you who, it was a cute little film. I just thought it was too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my biggest complaint with the film is that, you know, if kids are going to be watching this movie, I think the attention spans may start to wane around the 90 minute mark.
When we got to the hour mark, I was like, oh, this movie looks like it's wrapping up, and then we were like, oh wait, there's 40 minutes left.
It is a long one. And also, I was so happy to talk about. There's probably other stuff that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
Last of Us Part 2, I did replay. I did finish this week again just because it was so damn good. And I was like, I want kind of something scary, but something that's not too scary to play. So Last of Us Part 2. And I got to watch the first two episodes of Young Justice Phantoms, which is the fourth season of the show. It's absolutely wild to me that this show that literally started in 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. As a Cartoon Network show, has now grown up with me as a person. And because now it's on HBO Max, there are some very R-rated things in the show. And it's really crazy to see just like the blood and the gore and the sexual suggestions, suggestive content on the show now. Because what the show does so well, I think, is that these characters have grown up in this time as well, too. So you're not just telling kid stories over and over and over again. You're telling that these are characters that started off as sidekicks to the Justice League. They have now graduated to be part of the Justice League, and now they're telling their own adventures, and it's such a damn good show.
So these kids, they were kids, now they're adults, and now they're just killing and... Yeah.
Killing and fucking. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Killing
and fucking. That's our one F.
Anthony dropped an F earlier.
No, I didn't.
Somebody dropped an F earlier.
I didn't drop an F.
Okay, so I'm going to waste my F on killing and fucking. I think that's what they wanted the subtitle of the season to be.
Young Justice, killing and fucking.
they didn't want that. They did not want that to happen this year. So
fair enough.
But again, I'm just so happy the show's back. It's phenomenal. If you haven't checked it out, the first two seasons are on Netflix, and then season 3 and season 4 are on HBO Max, and you could watch on Teletoon here in Canada as well too, if you subscribe to Stacked TV. Oh wow, so,
Teletoon.
I forgot about Teletoon.
Yeah. Teletoon. Yeah, great.
Yeah, wow. Anthony, what are we watching?
This week I've been watching Stranger Things. Okay. I finished 1, 2, and 3. I've watched it before, but I thought, you know what? I'm getting ready for season 4 of Stranger Things, and it's also Halloween.
You're going to watch them again next year.
Let me... Probably not. I'm
Season 2 is one that takes place during Halloween, right?
Yes. Yeah. When they're dressed up as Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really like it. I love season 1 and season 3. They're my favorites of the three seasons. I don't know how you guys
feel. Yeah, same here. 2 was kind of the weaker one for sure.
I think my ranking is 1, 3, 2.
Yeah. Put on Squid Game. Listen to the public. Put on Squid Game. Watched it.
Most watched it. Netflix show.
Enjoyed it. Really, really cool. Interesting concept for a show. Shay, you watched it too, as well.
Right, I watched it as well. Yeah. People around me, wouldn't stop talking about it, and I was very curious.
It's been everywhere.
I was very curious, and I bought into the hype, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it too. I liked the characters. I liked the twists. I loved the scenarios involved.
The games.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. Koreans know how to write, man. They just know how to write some really fucked up shit.
Oh, there it is.
The story, like, if I were to compare it, it has a little bit of Parasite in it because it talks a lot about classism. And I don't know if that's a huge thing in Korea. Because I feel like that's a big thing.
I think that's a big thing.
In a lot of their stories, especially with Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
And Parasite and even Squid Game, there's this classism that's...
I think outside of North America, class is a big thing. Because even in, it's so weird, Young Justice, the first two episodes, a lot of it have to do with the, like, they go to Mars in these episodes because like the Martians are a thing in this. And like there's a whole like caste system there and everything too. So it's just really interesting that this is something I think we're starting to see a lot more now. And as we start to get more shows about, you know, the divide of like the financial divide between different characters, different people in the world. Like we're seeing that a lot more in movies too.
I think in North America, we just shy away from it.
We don't 100%.
And it's unfortunate because you can relate to so much that's happening in Squid Game and Parasite and all of the above, but we choose to not have it showcased often. And if we do, it's going to be in an indie film.
Yeah. It's not because we don't really call it like classes here, right? Yeah. But it is. They're there without us acknowledging it, right?
But no, I had a really, really good time. I developed such a crush on Player 67. I think that's who it was. The girl.
Oh, yes. I don't know her name.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
My girlfriend and I were just like, she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to find her name.
But yeah, I think if you are a fan of Parasite or Battle Royale or
Definitely
Old
those
Boy,
are two ones I had, yeah.
These are like the stories that are being told in this Squid Game. And these games are very dark and...
Are there any squids?
No.
A lot of squids. Bullshit. A lot of squids. A lot of squibs.
A lot of squibs, eh?
Yeah,
because a lot of people got shot, eh?
Yeah, Jung Ho Yuen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I got. It's October, so it's, you know, horror month. So I put on Possessor, which is a...
Is that the
Cronenberg's
Sons one,
yeah,
right?
Brandon Cronenberg. If you like body horror, Possessor is the movie for you. It is about an assassin who works for this mysterious company, and what they do is they put their consciousness into another person's body, who then commits the murder. And then they like dip. Very Inception-like.
If you ever wondered what would happen if David Cronenberg had a child, this is what happens. They make even more fucked up movies.
Put on Come to Daddy, which is an Elijah Wood horror film.
Did that just come out this year?
I think it came out in 2019.
Did he direct this one?
No. 2019, yeah. It was directed by Ant Timpson.
Mm.
It is an independent horror type of story. And it's on Crave. You can watch it on Crave. That's where I watch a lot of these films.
I think he produced it because he has a production company that he puts out a lot of movies like this.
Yes. And it's a very Elijah Wood type of story. Like, I think, like...
He had to destroy a ring in it. And
there's no destroying of rings, but he comes from a family where he hasn't seen his father, and he goes and meets him, but it's not his father.
An Elijah Wood thing? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, the type of
story. It's like Radio Flyer.
It's very,
you know,
independent. Like, Elijah Wood is not going to be in blockbuster films anymore.
Right. No, you know? You're right.
He's going to go for the smaller.
What's films. The last blockbuster film he was in? Spy Kids 3D.
Lord of the Rings, no?
Spy Kids 3D came out afterwards.
Hmm.
I guess
The Hobbit. Spy Kids actually a blockbuster film?
It was pretty popular.
Well, I didn't watch it, so.
Yeah, he's never watched Spy Kids.
Right? No, he doesn't like
Spy Kids or Spies. You Should Have Left is another film that was on Crave. It stars Kevin Bacon and Amanda Seyfried.
Yep.
Directed by David Cope, who's also screenwriter for a lot of the movies that we grew up with, like Jurassic Park and stuff like that. Bad movie. Didn't like it. Wasn't scared. Actually, an awful film. Bad acting.
Were you scared how bad it was?
I was... I was actually shocked. I'm like, man... Like, this is Amanda Seyfried, who just did Mank, and she was fantastic in that.
Was this after Mank? This was after last year?
This was 2020.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
And it's just like, you know, you're acting, so you must hear yourself when you're doing these scenes. And they're just super cheesy.
It happens, man. It happens.
Yeah. Not a great film. What else did I watch? The Duel.
The Duel?
The Duel. The Last Duel.
Yeah.
That
was a prequel, yeah.
The Duel is a Spielberg film, though, with
the
car and the transport. The Last Duel, Halloween Kills, Ron's Gone Wrong, Dark Side of the Ring, and Bad Sport, which is another Netflix documentary. Really, really well done. It talks about the bad parts of sports. So a lot of controversies and...
Bad parts of sports.
The bad parts of sports.
It's called Bad Sport.
Bad part. So the one episode that I watched, because the only one episode, was about the gold winning figure skating team. Remember back in 2002, Salt Lake City, the Russians figure skating team, they win gold.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they disqualified?
They weren't disqualified. They won gold but they had like a bunch of mistakes happen during their planned routine.
Yeah.
And then the Canadians, which was Jamie Sallet and David Pelletier, who had a perfect run, got silver. And it was this huge controversy because the French coach judge voted against the Canadians when she should have been voting against the Russians because of the mistakes. And it was all comes down to Russian mob. And,
yeah, but Russia was also was banned from the Olympics, I think, a couple years ago, too, for like fraud and shit like that, too.
It's crazy. It was a huge story. This was one of the biggest stories of Salt Lake City, and it was all over the news, and Canadians eventually get their gold medal, but you never understood why that French judge voted that way, and then you kind of get to understand, like, oh, she voted that way because she was pressured by her friend, like, the official French figure skating, we'll say, coach.
Yeah.
Because he was pressured by some Russian people.
And the Olympics, man.
It was a story that, hey, you do this for me and I'll do this for you. So
you sharpen my blades, Russian, and
my,
I'll
my Russian judge will give your French dancing team high marks. So it's, and the whole thing was Russia never lost pairs figure skating in 40 years. They didn't want to lose this year because they knew the Canadians were doing so well.
Yeah, because we're fucking hot in Canada.
And that's how we get to school. We skate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're really into it, and I think a lot of the other stories out. They're going to talk about are like Football Gate, which was like when Serie A in Italy was bribing the fucking judge, the refs.
Yeah.
For years and years and years.
I know it's awful, but I love when those stories come out because I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. So I had no idea this documentary series exists. I'm going to watch it because this sounds like right up my alley.
Bad Sport.
It's good.
This is different from the other sports.
I was going to ask. This is not connected. This is its own series now.
Yes.
Cool.
And that's it. That's all I watched.
Very cool.
Very cool. Let's jump into what I watched. And it was No Time to Die, Last Duel, Halloween Kills, which we have a review up for. I'm still watching Sopranos, Squid Game. Interstellar, because I feel like if it time doesn't go by, I until I've watched Interstellar.
Did you listen to that?
You watch Interstellar again?
Yeah.
See, now I have to watch it because Anthony watched it 2 weeks ago.
Give me five, man.
You watch it, and I got to watch it this week.
See, this is why we're Libras, and you're whatever.
What are you?
I'm a Smeagol. Would you call me? I'm an Aries, bro.
I don't even know what the stars are.
No,
the stars?
I only know my own. Like if you told me you're a Cancer, I'm like, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. What are you again?
I'm Aries. God of War, bro.
Yeah, God of War. God of Libra, like we're nothing.
Weighing you down.
You're a Libra? Libra the zebra, you know? What are you, you know?
that's an animated film.
Yeah, Libra the zebra.
There's two Libras here and one Aries.
Yeah? Who's going to win?
The two Libras. The two Libras.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah. The two Libras?
Dude, I'm a Libra star. Looking into your Aries moon, okay?
Dua Libras?
What does that mean, by the way?
Dua Libras. Because there's two Libras, a Dua Libra.
I'm saying Dua Lipa.
Yeah, I know. I'm making a joke.
Okay.
But what does that mean, though? I'm curious. Like, what is, like, when I've heard people say to me, like, dude, man, my Aries moon is reaching
into my Aries moon is way up. Virgo star.
But if you look outside right now, there's a moon.
Yeah.
Well, was there?
And, you know, if this was Ronald Emmerich's film, the moon would be crashing. Oh,
God. It's Ronald Emmerich. It's Roland, first of all. You dirty bitch.
I watch movies, guys. Yeah. I watch movies.
Interstellar. So, Interstellar, I mean, I think we
said it last week on the show.
Yeah, you did. And then I was like, oh, I just got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's a good movie. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. Also, Chloe Zhao said it was one of her biggest inspirations for Eternals, which is a movie that is coming out soon.
That we may be seeing or seen
soon.
Anyways, I started to watch this last season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm enjoying it. The first two episodes weren't for me, but I'm enjoying the episodes that I've watched so far.
Really love the finale of it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I spoke about it on the show, but
I don't know if you did.
Really love the finale for it.
Good,
really great finale.
I'm excited to get to it. Halloween Kills, Ron's Gone Wrong. Same as you, Daniel. It's too long. Because of the trailer of Batman, like I mentioned at the beginning, I started watching Mindhunter again. I absolutely love this show. I hope to God we get a season 3 because, man, the way season 2 ends, it's like, holy shit, this is so perfect. What can happen next?
I'll never forget when I was when I saw the tweet pile up saying David Fincher is not doing season 3 of Mindhunter or Netflix cancels it. I was just like, why?
Like, this is a dumb mistake.
Just end Netflix.
Yeah, but they have like Sex Life.
Pardon me?
The show. Like they're redoing Sex Life.
And they're doing like that fucking animal dating show. Remember the one where they wear like creepy costumes or whatever? Yeah.
Fuck you, Netflix.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm
just saying,
Royal Netflix, not Netflix themselves. You know?
Yeah, the royal
Netflix.
And I started watching when we had an early access to You season 3, and now it's officially out, so I guess I can still talk about it. You season 2 was not my favorite. I did not like season 2.
But I remember you saying that You season 2 was not good.
Not good. It was not you. It was us.
Yeah, almost. As a friend say, not good.
Not good. You season 1 I really liked. You season 3 so far, really good. Really good. I'm really enjoying it so far. Having a good time with it. I'm excited to finish it because, it's a good season so far. I'm really enjoying what they're doing with it. That's all I watched. That's all you guys watched. And that's all we have to discuss on today's episode of the Movie Podcast. Again, stay tuned throughout the week because we're going to be dropping some little reviews. We're going to be dropping a little bit of little tidbits. That's my little flute that I like to play when I'm ending off the show.
October's a fun month because you know what? Maybe we'll be dropping a commentary soon,
Maybe
too.
We'll be dropping a commentary. Maybe we'll be finally looking at some merch as well because I swear people have been asking.
You know?
One day.
In time for the holiday season.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe for American Thanksgiving, maybe you could buy your loved ones.
We got to really get on this merch thing because, people keep asking me. Some people have threatened me.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, it was you. But again, you can catch a brand new episode every single Monday and throughout the week for our review episodes. You can follow us at The Movie Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Letterboxd. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And that was this time of The Movie Podcast.
And we'll see you next.